Well, hello, and welcome to the Sabbatarianism Podcast. I'm Justin. Across from me is Richard. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Justin.
And to my right-hand man, Mr. Neil Saul. Hello, Mr. Neil Saul.
And you need one. Hello, Justin.
I do need it. Everyone needs a right-hand man, Neil. All right, so we want to encourage you to please read the Bible for yourself. It can be done. We've all done it. You should do it too. In fact, do that before you do any other type of studying. Read the Bible for yourself. And if you are new to the podcast, please start in the beginning. We cover a lot of things in the beginning and cannot repeat them on every podcast. So please start in the beginning. All right, gentlemen, I think we're going to round out Genesis today.
We should.
We should. We're on chapter 46. Looks, just to recap, Joseph has
revealed himself
to his brothers, and that's where we're going to pick up here. So, Richard, you still able to read?
I think so.
Okay. They getting better, your eyes, or?
Well, they're about the same.
Okay.
But I can read. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." So he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes." Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and his descendants with him. His sons and his sons' daughters, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Now these were the names of the children of Israel, Jacob and his sons, who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the sons of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puva, Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sered, Elon, and Jahalil. These were the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob, in Paddan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the persons, his sons and his daughters, were 33. The sons of Gad were Zaphion, Haggai, Shunai, and Esbon, Erah, Aradai, and Aralai. The sons of Asher were Jemna, Ishua, Isui, Beria, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beria were Heber, Malkiel. These were the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and these she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin, and Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Muppin, Huppin, and Arad. These were the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The sons of Dan were Hushim. The sons of Naphtali were Jahzeel, Juni, Ezer, and Shilaim. These were the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban bore to Rachel his daughter, and she bore these to Rachel, to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all, and the sons of Joseph, who were born to him in Egypt, were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph, to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him, fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who are in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" that you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth till even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians."
Every shepherd is an abomination. Did they not eat meat?
Well, they were basically a farming community. They lived off the land of, they had herds. We know that because they had cattle. Yeah. And apparently that's where they kept them, in that area.
But so it was just a thing there where you had to hire an abominable person to take care of your flocks.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Kind of wild.
Human nature, that doesn't change, does it?
All right, so Jacob makes his way over to Egypt. Joseph's waiting on him. And pretty straightforward chapter there. Not much to glean upon. Neil, do you have anything to glean upon?
I guess it's pretty straightforward, but right at the beginning of the chapter where, God introduces himself, or not introduces, but approaches Jacob in a night vision, it says.
Yeah.
So another dream, but assures him that, it's okay to go down there because he's with him and he's going to make him a great nation in Egypt.
And they took everything with them. It's not like they thought they were going to be gone a short while and coming back.
Yeah.
They took everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chapter 47.
Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess, have come from the land of Canaan, and indeed they are in the land of Goshen." And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your fathers and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my father in the land of their pilgrimage, in the days of their pilgrimage." So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out before Pharaoh. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his brothers' household with bread, according to the number of their families.
It's pretty interesting that this Pharaoh is kind of different. I mean, Joseph interprets a dream for him. Here's most of my kingdom. Do with it what you will. And then to have this other man who is the father of abominable people all shepherds, comes in, and he blesses him. Well, Pharaoh's there for it.
God had used Joseph to save the land of Egypt. You know, I guess he could see that, so he honored and respected him.
Yeah, very respectful exchange there.
Well, I can't help but think that statement in, at the end of the last chapter, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Pharaoh saying, hey, if any of your brothers are good at it, have
take
them
care
look,
of my flock.
Exactly.
You abominable people, you.
he didn't look down on them too much.
No, he must not. I think maybe there's a translational thing there going on with abominable.
Well, and
it could be
that it's the
fraternize
people.
With
well,
them.
That was just a low class, what they would view as a low class occupation.
I see it as like the garbage man.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Who wants to be a garbage man? Well, it pays pretty darn good, and dang if we didn't.
And haul my garbage while you're at it.
Well, if they weren't there, you know, what would the city look like?
right. Be terrible.
Verse 13. Now, there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, for the grain which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence, for the money has failed? And Joseph said, give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle, of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When that year had ended, and they came to him the next year, and said to him, we will not hide from my lord that our money is gone. My lord also has our herds of the livestock. There's nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes?
He says, I'll take those too.
Both we and our land. Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of the Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate the rations which Pharaoh gave them, and therefore they did not sell their lands.
Let's pause for a second.
Boy, that sounds familiar. They're all in cahoots.
Yeah.
At first they take
They bought up everything.
They take a fifth of everything the people are growing for 7 years from the people, put it up, and then sell it back to the people and use
in exchange for everything else they own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a racket. That's what I was wanting to pause for, is to point out just what you said here, that this has been a windfall, to say the least, for Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. He now owns everything and basically gets a tithe from them going forward. We haven't read that part yet, but come to it.
Well, not only that, but they're willing to sell themselves just for food. So, you know, it makes you wonder how Pharaoh how a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph in the future would not know of him. Well, would take these people and make them slaves.
Yeah.
When he had the whole nation as slaves if he wanted them.
Verse 21, and as for the people, he moved them into the
cities.
Yeah. Yep.
Where they can be more easily controlled.
Into the prisons.
Mr. Paul Silty.
Yeah. We ready?
Yes, sir.
Verse 23. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be your own as seed for the land, and for your food, for those of your household, and food for your little ones. So they said, you have saved our lives, but let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have 1/5 except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time came near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt and let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have said. Then he said, Swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed.
Well,
that's chapter 47. So we see here Israel is about to die, and he is about to pass on the legal birthright and blessing. Those things have been passed on to him, and were passed to Isaac, were passed to him. Were passed to Isaac, and were passed, yes, to him. Rightfully should have been Esau's, except for what occurred back there.
And so, should have been Reuben, Simeon, you know, should have went down that line, but they've disqualified themselves.
Yeah, we went through all that in the history of the covenant.
And we'll see that in chapter 49.
Yeah.
But how it ended up going to Joseph, and we're going to see that in 48, basically.
Yes.
But it actually kind of bypasses Joseph, doesn't it? I mean, it goes straight
to his children.
To his children.
Yeah. Right.
But all of it goes to his children.
And that becomes part of the double portion.
Okay.
They each get one portion, basically. So that's a Joseph's double.
Yeah. Okay.
48. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, Indeed your father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, Look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said to me, Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine.
Firstborn, secondborn.
Yes.
These are now my firstborn and my second.
As his children.
His children.
Yeah. Your offspring whom you beget after them shall be yours. They will be called by the name. It says name. That should be names of their brothers, for that to be grammatically correct, in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? Joseph said to his father, They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place. And he said, Please bring them to me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. I want to pause there for 1 second. I know we went over this in the history of the covenants. But none of the other children were there. Not Judah, not anybody else.
And so far, he has not said anything about
any of them. Okay. The promises of Abraham are being handed to the children of Joseph.
Well, he hasn't said anything about in your seed at this point.
Not at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a quick question for you. Go on. It says there in the last half of verse 10, then Joseph brought them near him. That would be Jacob, and he kissed them and embraced them. He is Joseph. I mean, Jacob.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers and Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name, that's Israel, be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them from that day, saying, By you Israel will bless, saying, May God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh as the firstborn. And Israel said to Joseph, Behold, I am dying. But God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I have took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow.
What do you mean by that? Which I took from the Amorite hand of the Amorite?
The Amorite turned out to be Og, is a prophetic
that was that
king
land
of Bashan.
East of the Jordan.
That extra double portion of land.
Where Manasseh ended up.
Yeah.
So Manasseh got the physical double portion of the inheritance. But the inheritance of the blessing, by you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, goes to Ephraim. And and people say, well, how do you know that? You're just reading that into it. Look, here's how I know that. Because I read the rest of the book. From here all the way to where Jeremiah 31 says, Ephraim is my firstborn in the new covenant. All the way to Revelation 14, where it says, the 144,000, a company of nations called by the names of his brothers, as we read here in verse 5, in their final spiritual inheritance, are the first fruits of the firstborn of Israel. And if you read it all the way through the way it is written, God reveals it to you. Now, if a person wants to take the Jewish mythical concepts or the pseudo-Christian concepts and come back and deny what it says, you're not going to see it. But that's where it is. Judah wasn't around anywhere where this is passed along. What he gets is in the next chapter.
And that's verse 6 where it says that will be called by the names of their brothers.
Yes.
And then even down in the blessing part there, the God who fed me all the days, all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. So now he's associating God with an angel, which is an interesting aspect. But has redeemed me is an important aspect of those blessings, because that leads to our redemption in Christ, or man's redemption in Christ.
So the blessing, there's two parts, the blessing, and then there was you had a blessing of physical goods, and then you had the birthright, which was the redemptive promise, which is talking about here. And this will come through Ephraim. Once again, you say, well, Christ was not an Ephraimite. Read the rest of the Bible. He ends up in Isaiah 11 with God talking about how he will bring them both back together as one. And we'll read in this next chapter, as we did in the history of the covenants, that where the crown, verse 26 of chapter 49, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of whom who should be is separate from his brethren. And that's where the blessings of your father, the blessings of my ancestors, that will be Christ, who is separate from his brothers and shall be until they accept him.
Still to this day.
Yeah. And then there will be a unity. Christ is adopted as the firstborn of the firstfruits. Read chapter 31 of Jeremiah, where it says Ephraim is the firstfruits. Ephraim in the spiritual kingdom in the new covenant becomes a company of nations, not physical nations on this earth, but a company of nations called by the names of his brothers. If anybody wants to question what we're talking about, go back and listen to the first dozen podcasts that we did on the history of the covenants, taking it from the beginning all the way through. That's the way it ends up. When all of Israel is finally reunited at the return of Christ, Jesus Christ will be, as he is now, the firstborn of the first fruits. The first fruits are the legal rights of Ephraim, just like it says right here. Not Judah.
And that, you know, one of my favorite studies is the firstborn of the wave sheaf versus the firstborn of the Pentecost, where one is the one and only Christ, and the other is us who will be firstborn into the kingdom.
We're trying to be,
I hope to be,
So a lot of this right here is prophetic to the future.
Yeah, and the next chapter too.
And here's where it begins to be confused by what it says in First Chronicles. Some in the past have done, written books about it, where they say there were two things. There was a birthright they claimed to be physical things. How do they claim? Yeah, they claim the birthright is the physical things. And the blessing then is the scepter. Because they've got that mixed up. The blessings is the spiritual promise. Now I'm getting it mixed up. The birthright is, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We prove that back when you compared what God promised to Abraham and right alongside how Isaac passed it along to Joseph and Esau. Okay?
Because it was sold, Esau had already sold it to Jacob.
Right. Now, here we see the birthright and the blessings passed down to the children of Joseph. In the next chapter, we're going to see the scepter given to Judah. That's a third thing.
Separate.
Yes, that's a third thing.
Yeah.
And
it's limited.
Yeah, it belongs to, well, we'll just read it when we get there. Okay? Chapter 49. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. But unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Now he's telling him why he was disqualified.
Yeah.
Yep.
Simeon and Levi are brothers, instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united in their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel.
Does that mean they don't get any portion?
It means they're disqualified from the blessings and the birthright. This is a legal document. He makes clear why It wasn't
well, and what he's
to
about
them.
To give to Judah right here as well. They've disqualified themselves from that as well.
Yes, but Judah had partially redeemed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he will become a praise to his brethren, because you'll notice in the chapter 40, where was it? 46, he asked Judah to be the leader. I forget which verse that's in.
In verse 28.
When he asked him to go to Egypt before him. And
he sent Judah before him to Joseph.
Yeah. So he sent Judah up first. You know, he, just like he had kept the things of Joseph and what Joseph had dreamed and everything in his heart, he could see what was transpiring with his sons, apparently. And Judah was the one who persevered, like Israel had, who repented, who's the one who created the catalyst for Joseph to change his mind and bring them all back up. So Judah became a blessing to them.
And that's partly why it states there in verse 8 that whom your brothers shall praise.
Yes.
Because he's, you know, he sees this change of heart.
Okay. Verse 8, Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. That's what the word Judah means, praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Okay, there's the scepter. This is a different thing. That's the king or the throne. Nor lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes.
Until.
Yes, and to him, the Shiloh, shall be the obedience of the people. That's a messianic prophecy there.
Yeah.
But notice, the lawgiver isn't given to Judah, as some would say. You know, all the authority, so-called authority of the rabbis and Judaism is actually based on claiming that only Judah, all Israel is Jews, and whatever the Jews say is the lawgiver, God's authority. No, we find from, once again, reading all the way through the scriptures and seeing how it develops, that the lawgiver is Levi, not Judah. It is not given to Judah. But it says that the lawgiver will not depart from beneath or between Judah's feet until Shiloh comes, until Christ comes. And the scepter will not depart. Well, the scepter was given to the lineage of David. We know that as we look forward. And the lawgiver was given to Levi, but he continued to remain with Judah, the southern kingdom.
Which is between
until
his feet.
Until now.
Until Shiloh came.
Until right. Shiloh came, right. And then it all goes to him.
That's right, because he cut them off. And right. That's it. So you should not look to what they've devised right. Continually after that. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now, verse 11. Binding his donkey to the vine. This is speaking about the scepter. And now the lawgiver. And his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine. His teeth whiter than milk.
Okay, all speaking about Shiloh there.
Yeah. Right.
Not Judah.
No. That's talking about Christ. Who was a Jew?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Bible reveals, as we went through in the papers, how Judah and Israel will eventually be brought back together.
Yep.
Hasn't to this day. No matter what the Jews say. Zebulun shall dwell by the haven of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships. And his brother shall adjoin.
Border.
And his border shall adjoin Sidon. Thank you. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between two burdens. He saw that rest was good, and that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden, and became a band of slaves. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way. Now, I know there are plenty of books that have been written about who all these people are, where mm-hmm. they're
lineage. Yeah.
You can have those books. I have no comment. They may be all right. They may be all wrong. That's not something I've been has been revealed to me. A viper by the path that bites a horse's heel so that its rider shall fall backward. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall trample upon him, but he shall triumph at last. Bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a deer let loose. He uses beautiful words. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, there's the prophecy of Christ, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast of the womb, the blessings of your father, how have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who is or was separate from his brothers. Now, there's who say that's talking about Joseph previously being separate from his brothers. Well, that's true, they were. But the ultimate blessings in the future, this is talking about a future prophecy. And this is talking about the shepherd, the stone of Israel. That wasn't Joseph. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of him who is separate from his brethren.
And the crown of the Messiah who is separate from his brothers.
Yes. Now, just if any object to that, I've got a suggestion. Get you a notebook. Get your Bible. Put it in historical order, chronologically, and follow this bit by bit and read it from start to finish and see how it turns out. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what I did. And I think that anybody can do that. Who cares? If you care enough, you can. And you'll see that that's the way it will happen. Christ is separate from his brethren because they killed him and cast him off, Judah, and he has become adopted in to the first fruits, which blessing was given to Ephraim. Verse 27, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil.
Well, Jacob didn't pull any punches here, did he?
No.
Some of them were not pleasant at all. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. That's his baby boy.
Yeah.
But he's probably speaking under
inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, all this
spiritual inspiration.
Because we see back here where we talked about in chapter 48 and verse 22, this is a prophecy of what will happen later on. It doesn't occur till after the Exodus, hundreds of years later, the Amorite, the hand of the Amorite, which was Og, king of Bashan, that was taken by the sword.
At the end of the 40 years in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, this is prophetic coming from God. Where am I? Verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron, the Hittite, in the cave that is the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there they buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there we purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Just like that.
Yeah. He had a nice long life and got to see his son again and see all the wonderful, wonderful things that his son had done, and I'm sure he was extremely proud, and sounds like he had a nice end to his life there, really. Away from where he had basically grown up, but his household was making it. They were surviving the plague, so I'm sure he was happy about that. We're coming to the end here.
One more chapter.
Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for him, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. The Egyptians mourn for Jacob, or for Israel, 70 days. Now when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Behold, I am dying in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. There you shall bury me. Now therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the house of Joseph, his brothers, and his father's house. Only their little ones, their flocks, and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. Then they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, and they mourned there with a great and very solemn lamentation. He observed 7 days of mourning for his father, and when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, This is the deep mourning of the Egyptians. Therefore its name was called Abel Mitzrim, which is beyond the Jordan. So his sons did for him just as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham bought from the field from Ephron the Hittite as property for a burial place. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt. He and his brothers and all who went with him went up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Perhaps Joseph will hate us, and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are your servants. That's prophetic of the great reckoning that will, or unification that will become after Christ returns, when Judah will no longer vex Rachel's children and deny them, and Rachel will no longer have...
She'll no longer be weeping for her children.
Yeah, as Isaiah talks about. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt.
And the writer of Hebrews looks back on this right here, where Joseph tells them, take my bones up out of here, that was a faithful thing of him, that he knew that they were leaving because he had faith in that. The writer of Hebrews called it faithful.
God's promise. He believed God's promises.
He believed God, right? And it's pretty notable here. Like, you did mention it when you were reading. They really honored Israel. The Egyptians did. Sending all those elders and everything with them. And that was a... This doesn't seem like a very bad pharaoh.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
This is a fairly reasonable man.
Well, you think about all that Joseph did for him.
Yeah.
And even before.
Buying all of Egypt.
Yeah, buying all the land.
Exactly. All the people, all the food, all the everything.
There was a lot of respect there. And then, of course, this is Joseph, this great man of God that Pharaoh encounters. Brings his father down, and
But still, some pharaohs wouldn't have done this.
No, but how many of them did he send these people maybe to make darn sure they came back?
Well, that could be too. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Somebody write a book about that.
Well, that is the book of Genesis. We've talked about doing some more podcasts here on maybe Exodus, and we'll work all that out, and we'll get back to you. Probably going to take a couple of weeks off of the podcast here. I need to take a couple of weeks off, so we'll be back with something, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.